Isaiah 43 in the Word of God, okay?
Amen.
And I want to begin reading in verse number 1. I'll read the first 7 verses to get the context. I'll preach from the first 2 verses, Lord being my helper here in the service this morning. Isaiah 43 in verse 1, the Bible says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob,
Amen.
And he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee.
Amen.
I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine.
Yep.
When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee.
Yep.
When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned,
yep.
Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel,
yep.
thy Savior. And I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight,
Amen.
Thou hast been honorable. And I have loved thee. Therefore I will give men for thee and people for thy life.
Amen.
Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." Now may the Lord add his blessing to that portion of Scripture today. I want to look to the Lord in just a moment of prayer and ask God's help, okay? Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful today for the Word of God. How precious these words are to our heart today. The great promises that we see there, the blessings that's ours in Christ. Thank you today for the privilege to be in the house of God, for our visitors that are here. Thank you, Lord, for your divine presence, all the good testimonies, the good saying, congregational music. We're grateful, Lord, for it all. Thankful for the Sunday school hour. Now I pray, Father, as we come to the preaching of the Word of God, that you would still our hearts around thee this morning. Help us to set our affection upon things above. Help us, Lord, to focus our thoughts upon Christ. Thank you, Lord, for dying for us. Thank you, Lord, for shedding your blood, coming up out of the grave, victorious over death, hell, and the grave, that we might have life. Now I pray for that special unction, that anointing, that liberty, Lord, that I need this morning in the house of God to preach thy word. I pray that you would subdue every evil spirit today and grant liberty through the presence of the Holy Ghost. Do that work in every heart and every family that you would enjoy doing today and bless us by doing it, saving sinners and, Lord, reviving your people. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. These words that I just read, no doubt, are a blessing to the people of Israel. Because that really is the assurance to Israel that there's coming a day when they're going to be restored.
Amen.
And they are going to be restored
Amen.
To the homeland. God's already called them back there, and they're not leaving the homeland. And God gives them, says many precious things to them in these first 2 verses. One thing that he says to them, especially, is that fear not.
Amen.
And he says that twice. He said that, I know, there in verse number 2 and again up in verse number 5. He says, fear not. Or in verse 1, he said, fear not. Verse 5, fear not. And so I want to preach a little while this morning on that thought of overcoming fear.
Amen.
Of overcoming fear in our lives. There's no doubt when Isaiah wrote these words that there was a certain amount of fear in the lives of God's people Israel, the apple of his eye, that they would never return to their homeland. But Isaiah assures them that they will.
Amen.
And God gives them great and precious promises from the Bible. You know, I want to thank God this morning that we have got great and precious promises from the Word of God. And I'll say again that the Lord has never promised one thing that he cannot carry out. He is an all-sovereign God, an all-powerful God that is able to do exactly what he says he's going to do. And we ought to rejoice in that, and we ought to relax in that. And fear not, because God will take care of our troubles and our problems that we have. Now, I want to say by way of introduction that fear is defined very simply. It's defined as a painful emotion, and it is. You ever been afraid? Have you ever had the fear to strike your heart? I've laid in a foxhole in Vietnam many nights and had fear to strike me in my heart. And I know what it is to be afraid. You don't know what's out in that darkness, my friend. And I know what it's like to have fear in my heart and to be afraid. And it's a very painful emotion or passion that is excited by an expectation of evil. We wonder what's going to happen to us. We expect the evil thing to happen to us, and therefore we become afraid, and fear strikes us in our heart. Or it is an apprehension of an impending danger. Now, I want to say this. As God's creatures, now stay right with me, as God's creatures, we all possess a certain degree of fear. I want you to hear what I'm getting ready to say. Some may fear the heights or flying in an airplane. I can say amen to that. I used to never fear heights at all. I've rode in UHB-1 helicopters before with my feet dangling out the door at 1,200 feet, and it didn't bother me. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not dangling my feet at 12 feet today. I'm almost terrified at heights. I started to get up last night, Miss Hall painted the ceiling in one of them bathrooms. She said, there's a piece of fuzz up there. She said, climb up on this little stool and get it off. And I got up on one step, and I thought I was going to fall off the stool, you know. I'm simply saying that there are some people that are afraid of heights or flying in other planes, and others may be afraid of water or crossing over water. And you remember a lady used to be here in the church, was petrified every time she'd cross over a bridge or a body of water. That lady was petrified about it. I mean, she could not, her fear would mount up so great that she would sit and tremble and weep and cry as they passed over that little body of water. And then there's some that they really get upset about driving too fast in an automobile. Brother Steve hadn't been with me for a while out in the truck. And we took off the other day and got up here to the first traffic light. I got a little close to a vehicle that was already stopped. He said, "Preacher, it's just like old times. Thank God. Hold on. Amen." And so a little fearful there of a heavy foot being on that accelerator pedal. And so there's people that are afraid of dangerously high rates of speed. There's people that fear dying. There's people that are fearful of duties. There's people that are fearful of the devil. There's some that fear large crowds or standing and speaking while they're in the presence of other people. But the Lord said, fear not.
Amen.
God said that twice to His people, fear not.
Amen.
May I remind you that John said that perfect love casteth out fear.
Amen.
And God wants us to love Him with that perfect love that He loves us. And that perfect love will cast out all fear. God doesn't want you to be afraid of one thing. God doesn't want you to be afraid of troubles that come in your life. And they'll come. God doesn't want you to be afraid of temptations. They'll come. He will make a way of escape. God doesn't want you to be afraid of the trials of your life. Because He will carry you through each one of those trials. And make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. Those trials and troubles and temptations will come. But God said as they do, there ought not to be any fear in our life. And there are so many people today that live in constant fear. I'm telling you, I'd hate to live that way. I really would. I'd hate to live constantly being afraid of what is going to happen in my life. Amen? Come on now and help me out. And stay right with me. I'd hate to live being constantly afraid of what is going to happen in my life. There are people that fear the future. They don't know, none of us knows what tomorrow may hold. Not a one of us. But I'm glad, thank God, that I know who holds tomorrow. And I'm glad that He also holds me in His hand. We don't have to fear tomorrow. We need to live for today. There's so many folks that fear tomorrow that they fail to live for today. Amen. I'm going to tell you, sufficient for today is the evil thereof.
Yeah.
Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. And I'm saying that honestly. The Lord will take care of tomorrow when it gets here. We are human beings, and it is within our human nature to want to know what's on tomorrow that we might be able to take care of it of ourselves. But if we knew what was on tomorrow, I'm going to tell you, it may scare some of us half to death. Amen. Somebody asked B.R. Lakin one time, said, Dr. Lakin, said, what would you do if you knew the place that you were going to die? He said, I wouldn't go there. Amen. And that's right. If you and I knew what was going to happen on tomorrow, we probably would avoid some places. That Sunday morning that Mrs. Hall and I had that automobile accident up here and destroyed our little old red Buick, if I'd have known that young boy was going to pull out in front of me that morning, I'd have took some other route to come to the house of God. I'm simply saying that some people are afraid of the future. We worry about what is going to happen tomorrow. And I'm going to say this to you, that most of the things, I've said it before, that we worry about that is going to happen tomorrow never happen anyway. And most of the things that trouble us never happen anyway. Amen. What God wants us to learn to do is to trust Him not only for today, but to trust Him for tomorrow as well. And ladies and gentlemen, if we have trusted Him with our immortal soul for all eternity, then we certainly ought to be able to trust Him in our present life for what is going to happen on tomorrow.
Amen.
A lot of folks fear the future. I'm glad my future is secure. God's taking care of it. Amen. Some people fear tomorrow. Some people fear what's going to happen way out yonder. I don't have to fear what's going to happen out there. That's taken care of as well. Amen. I'm glad I don't have to live with a fear of hell.
Amen.
I'm glad I don't have to live with a fear of dying and going to hell. That's been settled a long time ago. The day that I met Jesus at the foot of the cross, He settled that in my heart, ladies and gentlemen. He removed the fear of death and hell out of my life. And you know why? Because He has conquered him that has the power over death. He's conquered hell. He's conquered the grave. And therefore, you and I ought not have any fear of that whatsoever. Jesus said in the book of John, He said, because I live, you shall live also. That ought to be enough for us. But He said, I'm the resurrection and the life.
Amen.
Amen. That ought to be enough for us.
Amen.
But He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And that ought to be enough for us.
Amen.
But it's not. Hey, He said, I've gone to prepare a place for you.
Amen.
That ought to be enough for us. But He said more. He said, if I go and prepare that place, I will come again and receive you unto myself.
Amen.
That where I am, there you may be also. I want to ask you something this morning. Do you believe that? Boy, I'm telling you, I believe that with all of my heart. That I'm going to be with Jesus. Somebody said, where's heaven? Wherever He's at.
Amen.
Amen to God. I'm telling you, there ain't nothing like being saved and knowing you're saved. Amen. And having your future taken care of. That we have no fear of tomorrow.
Amen.
Come on in the house, boys and girls. Now, you know, there are those that worry about future sickness. And I'm going to tell you, I've never seen so many sick people in all my life as we're seeing today. Oh, it just struck my mind. When Brother Reese called last night, I'll tell you that he said something was wrong with Miss Sherry. She had some kind of a sickness. He said they're calling it RSV. I said, Brother Jerry, I said, that's a Bible. A perverted Bible. I said, it is sick, all right. But I didn't think it would affect Miss Sherry like that. It certainly not affected me. I'm glad I got the King James Bible. Say amen right there. I'm not worried about the RSV. Amen to God. That's right. And you know, some people, come on now, some people worry about being sick tomorrow that they worry themselves sick today. They worry about their bodies on tomorrow and what kind of disease or what kind of affliction or what kind of sickness is going to invade their bodies on tomorrow. But our Lord said, fear not. Son, I'm telling you, if we're cradled in the everlasting arms of God, there is nothing that we ought to fear. No, sir, that's right. We are immortal until God is done with us. You better believe that's right. Hallelujah to my God. That is right. And so there's folks that fear sickness, and they worry over sickness, of being sick, until they worry themselves sick. And that ought not to be. You'd be surprised at people that just sit around and wonder what kind of disease is going to overtake them, and that's what's going to take their life. Well, don't worry about that. Let God handle it. Let God handle it. And then there's those that worry about future sorrows. Well, what if a loved one? I talked to Brother Nolan last night. He called me. And you can tell that the loneliness is setting in.
Amen.
He said, Preacher, he said, I'm going to be honest with you. He said, I don't know what I'm going to do. But he said, I'm finding out one thing, that every time I unlock that door and come in, she's not here anymore.
Amen.
Said, that night when I came home from the hospital when she had went on to be with the Lord, I realized she wasn't here anymore.
Amen.
But he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, the last year that God gave us together was the most wonderful year of all of our life. And he said, I can face that empty bed room and that empty bed without her, because God settled it in my heart about a year ago. And he said, I'm not about to sorrow as others which have no hope. He said, praise God. And hey, he had it down to the day. He said, God gave us 62 years and 54 days together. And he said, I'm not going to sorrow over it. I'm not going to. And here's what I said to him. I said, well, brother, now, and I'm sure he's wiser than I am. But here's what he said. I said to him, Brother Steve, I said, well, I'm sure that because the Lord said a man and his wife should be as one flesh. They twain should be one flesh. I said, I'm sure that losing a wife is probably the greatest loss that a man should have. Would probably bring the greatest sorrow in his life, losing his mate. And the phone got real quiet, and I said, you still there? And he said, I'm thinking. He said, I don't believe you're right. And I said, well, maybe I'm not. He said, I believe losing a child would be much worse than losing a mate. He said, I think it would bring the greater sorrow. And I stopped and thought about that. And I said, well, I thought in my heart, and said to him, I thought in my heart, he's probably right. Because, hey, we expect to lose that mate someday when we grow old. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. They ain't none of us prepared to lose a child. There ain't not a person here that is prepared to lose your child, and not a person here that it would not bring sorrow to your heart if you lost that child. But I'm telling you, we're not to worry about things like that today, because it rests in the mind and the will of all, and the plan and the purpose of Almighty God. Hey, He has never made one mistake. He's too wise to make a mistake, and He loves you too much to do you wrong. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He is not going to do you wrong. That's why Paul said one more. When a loved one dies, we're to sorrow and all those others which have no hope. Didn't say we're supposed to sorrow. Said we don't sorrow as others which have no hope. And the Lord said, fear not. Fear not over the future. Over that sickness, future sickness or future sorrows. And future suffering. He said, fear not over that future suffering. And I'm going to tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, if most of us live long enough, there's going to be some sort of physical, mental, or spiritual suffering that we're going to go through. You just might as well mark that down. Brother Steve adequately said in the Sunday school hour that we live in a diseased body. We live in a body that is still dead in sin. And the Bible said the wages of sin is death. And I'm telling you, this old body we're living in is still going to die someday. And sometimes it dies easy, and sometimes it don't. Sometimes it's a rough death, and sometimes it's an easy death. Somebody said, well, and some people will worry themselves sick about that. How will I die? Will it be difficult, or will it be easy? I'm going to tell you, if Jesus is by your side, I want to go wherever hell He wants me to go. I'm going to tell you the attitude that I've taken on this thing, friend, is whatever glorifies Him the most is what I want to have. I want to glorify Him in my life, and I want to glorify Him in my death. Hey, and if my death can help somebody else, amen, through suffering and sorrow, then so be it for the glory and the honor of God. Somebody said, preacher, I wouldn't want to be that way. Hey, you would. You would if you didn't have any fear of how you was going to go. Come on in the house now, children. Hallelujah. And I've got so many things wrong with me. Or they say I have. They give me one pill to make me go to the bathroom in the morning, give me another one to clamp it off at night. I don't understand them. I'm telling you, I honestly, I don't understand them. Son, they're not understandable at all. That ain't the half of it. That ain't the half of it. They give me medicine to stop me from shaking that made me shake. They give me medicine for PTSD and said, hey, this will stop you from shaking, but it made me shake. And you know what? They said the medical doctor said the medicine's what give you PD. Amen. Well, you hear what I'm saying? But I'm going to tell you, I ain't going to worry about it.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah, I'm not going to worry about it. Because I've got a great Savior.
Amen.
Who's in charge and control of my life and your life as well.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, he knows exactly what you need, when you need it, how you need it. And by the way, you will never experience dying grace until it comes time to die. You don't need it right now. What you need right now is living grace for today, not even for tomorrow. You need living grace for right now, today. Don't worry about the future. Don't worry about your sickness. Don't worry about your future sorrows. God's able to handle them all. Amen. That's right. Thank God. Hey, when that little baby of Bathsheba's died, before that baby died, David went in and laid down on the earth. And laid there and prayed and fasted. And his servants tried to get him up and he wouldn't get up. And the baby died and they was afraid to go in and tell him. Said, if he acted this way, but while the baby was alive, said, what on earth will we do? Will he do when we tell him that baby is dead? And as they come in, David perceived the baby was dead.
Amen.
And you know the story. David got up, went and washed himself. Anointed himself, went to the house of God, went and got him something to eat, and those servants of his were amazed that he was able to do that. And they asked him why he prayed and fasted while the baby was alive, but now that it's dead, and was full of sorrow, but now that it's dead, that he's full of happiness and joy. He said, I'm going to tell you why. He said, I cannot bring that baby back to where I am, but I'm going to tell you something I can do. I can go to where he is. Oh, thank God for that. Sister Gray, you can't bring your husband back, but I'm going to tell you what you can do. You can go to where he's at. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Woo! No, sir. Miss Hall can't bring her mom and daddy back, but she can go to where they are. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. I can't bring my mom and daddy back, but I can go to where they are. Glory to God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Why, hey, why sorrow? Why have sorrow in our hearts over something that God has already taken care of the problem about? God, amen. That's right. Amen. I'd say that some of you here this morning are concerned about the near future. What's going to happen to you in a few days, a few weeks down the road? Where are you going to be and what you going to be doing that time? I'm going to tell you, don't worry about it.
Amen.
Let God work it out. Let God work it out. I mean that. Let God work it out. And I'll guarantee you God will work it out, friend, for your good and for His glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Just follow Him today and live for Him today and love Him today. Are you listening? Hey, the devil, I'd like to bust that egg-sucking slew foot egg sucker upside the head. Amen. I'm going to tell you, the devil will do everything he can do to trouble your mind with thoughts and rob you of your joy and rob you of your blessedness and rob you of your happiness. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now I'll tell you, if we listen to him instead of listening to the devil, we'll have some of that joy and happiness in our life. He's got somebody sitting right now. Preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. I can tell you about two men that had just took a beating, got thrown in jail, and at midnight, they began to sing praises unto God and to pray at midnight. I'll tell you, the beating didn't cause Paul and Silas to lose their joy. They got put in jail, and they never lost their joy. No, sir, you know why? They knew that God was in control of where they were. Now, look here, you call me whatever you want to. It don't make no difference to me. But I'm telling you right now, nothing ever entered your life God didn't let enter. Ain't nothing ever going to happen to you God don't let happen to you. You belong to God. You're His. Hey, if you believe that Bible, you got to believe what I'm telling you. How could He tell Israel, I'm going to do this and this and this and this and this? Before it ever happened, he told him what he was going to do. Better believe it is. We've got God pictured as some little old gray-haired man sitting up there that don't know what's going on. We're smarter than what he is. He don't know anything. I'm going to tell you what, there's nothing he don't know. Amen. You better believe that's right. He knows what you're going through right now. Oh, yes. He knows what's in your heart right now. He knows whether you're broken. He knows whether you're bereaved or grieved. He knows what your problem is right now. Amen. That's right. He's not missed a thing. Not a thing has he missed. And then we're not robots. But I'm telling you, God's got a plan for your life. And God's got a purpose for your life. And friend, that plan and that purpose that lets you get out of the will of God will be carried out in your life. And what God wants us to do is pray and find the mind of God and follow God in His will for our life. Whether it be suffering, whether it be sorrow and grief, whether it be trouble, trial, tribulation, whatever it might be, we need to find the will of God and stay there. And I'm going to tell you, God can bless you right in the midst of your troubles. Somebody said, I don't believe that. David said in the Psalm, said, though I walk through the midst of troubles, thou wilt revive me. Now, if he can revive you while you're walking through trouble, that's a great God. Boy, Baptist, did you get a hold of that? Well, there's too much going on in the world for us to have revival. Hogwash. God never did come to revive the world. He can revive the saints, but he's not going to revive the world, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Too much political power. I'm going to tell you something. Ain't a politician living can stand up before the power of Almighty God. None of them. I don't care who they are. Well, gasoline is high. So what? Groceries is high. So what? Taxes are high. So what? Houses are high. So what? What's new, pussycat? Are you listening to what I'm saying? God does not expect us to live on what is happening out there. God expects us to live on what's happening in here. And by the way, God doesn't change situations. God changes the heart. Amen. He'll change the heart to help you through the situation that you're living in. Come on in the house, boys and girls. Praise God, I'm trying to hurry now. I got to hurry along here. Now, the Lord said, fear not. Why? Number one, because of His power. Amen. He said there in verse number one, He said, I created Jacob and I formed Israel. Amen. Now, I want you to get a hold of that. I may not get any further than this point right here. I created Jacob and I formed Israel. Now here's the thing of it. Jacob and Israel is the same person. They are the same person. But Jacob was a supplanter. And Israel was a prince. Because they had power with God and power with man. But he said, Jacob I've created. But he said, Israel, he said, I formed Israel. Now, I want you to get a hold of that. Jacob is that natural man. God said, Jacob, I created you. I made you what you were. I created you. You come right out of the dust of the earth. But he said, Israel, I formed you. Now, son, I'm telling you, he's talking about the new birth. He said, I created you into what you was, but then I took what you was, and now I'm making you what you are. Oh, if you get a hold of that, fear not, because I've created you once, I've created you the second time, and I'm forming you into what I want you to be by the grace of God. Praise God, if you never get a hold of that. God is shaping us and molding us and making us what He wants to be. That's what He said. I said, don't fear. Fear not. For they said, everything that happens in your life is there because I am forming you. I'm making you what I want you to be. Now, we need to listen to God. Are you listening? Are you hearing me? We need to listen to God. We need to listen to God. God created ain't none of us but dirt.
Amen.
I heard one preacher say one time that if we were sold for what we were worth, literally, we'd be sold for 53 cents. That's what our body's worth. Fertilizer dust, 53 cents. Not worth much, are we? But thank God there's a new man in there. And God is forming that man. God created this old piece of clay. But I'm telling you, that new man, he is forming it, shaping it, making it, molding it. Do you think that it was pleasant the night that Jacob wrestled all night with the Lord and he walked away with a limp? Because the Lord touched that sinew of his leg? But I'm going to tell you, God changed him. In that night, God changed him from Jacob to Israel. And he changed him by forming him into what he wanted him to be. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes it takes a pretty rough touch. It doesn't say there was pain when that sinew drawed up. I don't know whether there was or not, but I'm going to tell you, he walked, he left there with a limp. Nobody likes the limp. And I'm going to tell you what Jesus said to Jacob. He said, son, he said, I'm going to put a mark on you. That will, you'll be recognized by everybody that sees you.
Amen.
Because of your limp.
Amen.
Oh boy, that give me a thought, Miss Maya. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
And God put something on you and I that we ought to be recognized by everybody we meet for what we are.
Amen.
We ought to be easily recognized as a child of God. Because He's shaping us and molding us and making us into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. And His power. His power. Only God can create. And only God can form.
Amen.
I'll try to hurry. Number two. Fear not because he said, I've purchased you. He said there, he said, I have redeemed thee.
Amen.
For I have redeemed thee.
Amen.
He's bought us. He's purchased us. I'm glad, thank God, I belong to him.
Amen.
Do you realize if we belong to him, that His stamp is upon us. His image and superscription is stamped upon the fleshly tables of our heart. Oh, I'm so glad, thank God. That, do you think He's going to turn loose of anything He's bought? He said He purchased the church with His own blood. Amen to God. And He bought you with His own blood. He gave His life for you and bought you, redeemed you. Now, I'm telling you what, He's not about to turn loose of anything that belongs to Him. I won't say thirdly, and I'm trying to hurry, not only because of His power and His purchase, but because of His possession. He said, thou art mine. Woo!
Amen.
How many of you fellas in here can go back to that day? Come on, mush pots. Mushy, mushy, mushy. How many of you guys can go back to that day when you saw that little bride walk up the aisle? Come on, Brother Ricky, don't leave me now. You went through all those vows, looked her right in her eyes, and boy, them eyes are just a... Your heart was sitting there going... You remember that day? I mean, you finished all those vows and pulled that veil up, and that preacher said, "You may now kiss the bride."
Amen.
And you kissed that little bride. And that preacher looked out over that assembly and said, "I now present you for the first time, Mr. and Mrs. Gary Lee Hall."
Amen.
You know what I said in my heart? She's mine!
Amen.
She's mine! I finally got her! She's mine!
Amen.
And we don't believe in divorce. Maybe murder, but not divorce. Hey, that means she's mine!
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, no, the Lord don't believe in divorce. That means we're His.
Amen.
He's not going to write you a bill of divorce, but bless the Lord! You belong to Him! You're His possession! He bought you. You're His possession this morning. You're His. Hey, God, get a hold of this. Fear not. Why? Because you belong to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God. Amen. By the way, she's still mine. Number four. He said, fear not because of my presence. He said, I will be with thee.
Amen.
I will be with thee.
Right.
His presence in our life.
Right.
Praise God, isn't that wonderful to know?
Amen.
Everywhere we go, that we take Jesus with us.
Right.
He's always there.
Amen.
I've told this story before. Let me tell it again right quickly.
Amen.
I'm about done anyway. I'll never forget old Brother Mays Jackson was preaching one time. And he said, he got up one morning feeling real good.
Amen.
He went in and read his Bible and prayed and said he'd come out of his prayer closet feeling like he was just on fire for God. He looked over at his wife and said, "Doc," he said, "you want to run down to the post office with me?" And she said, I can't right now. I've got things I'm doing." Said, "I would, but I've got things I'm doing. I can't go right now." So he looked over at his boy and he called his boy by name and said, "You want to run to the post office with me?" He said, "Daddy, I would," but he said, "you got to turn in this report at school." He said, "I'm working hard on it," and said, "I just don't really have time to go." He said, "Well, bless God." He said, "Jesus will go with me."
Amen.
Said he walked over to the door and opened the door and said, "Come on, Jesus." Said, "You can go out." Said, shut the door behind him, got out the car, opened up the passenger side, said, "Get in, Jesus." Shut the door and went around on the other side, got in the car, shut the door and drove to the post office. Said he opened up his door, went around, got out of his car. Said he opened the door and said, "You can get out, Jesus." Said he looked and said, "There's a black fellow over there." He knew standing over there. Said, "That black fellow just looking at him." He said, "Come on, Jesus." Said he walked up to the courthouse door, opened the door and said, "You can go in, Jesus." And he went through all that, come back out. He opened the door and said, "Jesus, you can go out first." Said, "I'll take care of the door." Got out to the car. Said he opened the door and said, "Jesus," said, "You can get in." He shut the door. And he looked over to that black guy looking over at him. He called the black guy by name and said, "Hey." Said, "I've been witnessing to you for a long time." Said, "When you come into my church and hear me preach?" He said, "Brother Mays, I'm not coming to your church." He said, "Well, why not?" He said, "Because you're spooky." But I'm going to tell you, sometimes we forget about it. That He's there all the time.
Amen.
Each step I take, I know that He's there. And there, as David said, there may be death. There may be one step between us and death, but I'm telling you, if you got Jesus between you and that step, you're all right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He can squeeze in there. You're all right.
Amen.
Thank God. I'm glad that He's always with me. Through heartache, through troubles and trials, through family disputes and all this mess, I'm glad He's always with me. Hallelujah. Through financial dilemmas, He's there.
Amen.
Amen. Through physical dilemmas, He's there.
Amen.
Through spiritual dilemmas and mental dilemmas, He's there.
Amen.
Through anxiety problems, He's there. through uncertainties. He's there. Amen. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Through every walk of life, He's there. I will be with thee. What that book says. Now, praise God. And then because of His protection, listen to what He says. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee.
Amen.
Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee.
Amen.
And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle against thee. Oh, how wonderful a God.
Amen.
Protection. I'm glad that He is our shield today. Amen. He's our high tower. Our bulwark. He stands between us and all of our enemies. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I forget who said this. I might not even be original with me. But somebody said when Peter came up to Jesus, Jesus was telling him he was going to the cross. He said, Peter came up to Jesus and said, "Be it far from thee, Lord." In other words, I don't want all this to happen to you. And Jesus looked at him and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan."
Amen.
Somebody said, "Boy, he was real angry with Peter." No, he wasn't angry with Peter. He said, "Get thee behind
Amen.
Me, Satan."
God.
I'm going to tell you why he got Satan behind him. Because he was between Peter and Satan.
Amen.
You'll catch hold of that after a while.
Right.
When they crossed the Red Sea, that pillar of smoke, fire, got up and went behind them. And stood between them and Egypt.
Amen.
What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that we got a pillar of fire between us and the devil. Hallelujah to God. And us and the world. It stands between us and the flesh. We got a pillar of fire. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, said Israel always wanted to go back to Egypt. Yeah, but they didn't go, did they?
Right.
Now I'm going to tell you why. They had to cross the Red Sea to get out. And to get back, they had water between them. If you're really saved, you've got a little water between you and Egypt. You ain't going back to the world. Say amen right there. I want to say, too, that some fear failure, and I'll just hurry through this because my time is gone. Some fear failure, not only some fear of the future, but some fear failure. We fear failing the Lord, just like Moses. Oh, Moses had hay. He had no confidence in himself at all. When the Lord gave him that assignment to go to Egypt, he said, "Who am I? I can't do that. Who am I?" Had no confidence in himself whatsoever. And I know we live by faith. But I'm going to tell you, you've got to have a little bit of confidence in yourself as well.
Amen.
He had no confidence in himself at all. He lacked authority. He lacked authority in his life. Jesus, the Lord told him, said, "You go down there, bring my people out." And here's what he said. He said, they will ask, "What is thy name? What is the name of the God that sent thee?" And Jesus told him, said, "I tell him that I am that I am."
Amen.
He didn't have no authority. He didn't think he had any authority at all. Well, who am I going to tell him sent me down here? I am that I am. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. He's our authority as well.
Amen.
Amen. We move on His march. And I don't care what it is God tells you to do. If God tells you to do, you get the job done, because it's not you doing it. It's God working through you to get the job done.
Amen.
Amen. When He called me to preach, I couldn't even sing Mary's Dozy, 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 and Little Lambsy Divey. I couldn't get up in front of nobody. I was the most timid fellow you ever seen in your life. But now I love to get up in front of people. And the more the better. The more the merrier. Hallelujah to God. Have no problem with it whatsoever. Amen. You know why? Because I know I've got that authority in my life that God gave me. He had no message. He said, "They will say, God hath not spoken to you." He didn't have anything to say. And by this time, God's beginning to get real displeased with Moses.
That's right.
Because He'd already given him the message.
Right.
"Tell Pharaoh to let my people go."
That was it.
He had a message. Amen. And He said, I'm going to have a hard time speaking to that people. He said, "I'm slow in speech and I'm slow in tongue." God, but then God was really upset. He said, here comes your brother Aaron. He said, we'll take care of this problem with Aaron. Hey, listen, I want you to listen carefully. Failure need not spell finished.
Amen.
Some people think they failed at something. I know a lot of preachers that get the idea if something messes up in one place that they're a failure.
Come on.
I'm telling you, failure don't spell finished.
Amen.
Somebody said, how do you know, preacher? What are you going to do about Joshua? Joshua conquered Jericho, went to Ai. When he went to Ai, sent up 3,000 men. They got whooped, sent back. 30-some of them got killed and came back. Of course, Achan had committed the sin against the accursed thing and had it buried in his tent. They took care of that business. And in chapter 8 and verse number 1, here's what the Lord. I'm sure that Joshua right then felt like a failure. I failed God at Ai. I had victory at Jericho. What happened today? I failed. And by the way, when he failed, he fell down on the ground and began to pray. And God said, get up.
Amen.
God wasn't praying. Get up. Israel sinned.
Amen.
He told him in chapter 8 and verse 1. He said, fear not.
Amen.
Just because he failed at Ai, God said, you take all Israel. All Israel and go up against Ai, for I've delivered them into your hand. He might have failed at Ai one time, but that second strike at it, he got the victory, friend.
Yeah, man. That's
it. Woo! Hallelujah to God.
Yeah.
God, I'm telling you, it don't fail in God one time, two times, three times. It don't spell finish. Somebody said, how do you know? Because he said, if a good man falls seven times, I'll lift him up. I'm going to tell you, preachers are the world's worst. They'll fail in a little work here, a little work there.
Amen.
And they think that God's done with them.
No,
especially some fellas, like some of you fellas in here that's young. Hey, man. I was 41 years old when I come here.
Amen.
And I thought, boy, I'm not going to have a very long ministry. And I've been here 22 years. I'd have never have thought it.
That's right.
But boy, God's kept me here.
Jesus.
All right, listen to what I'm telling you.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, there's been many times along this way that I failed God right here in this church.
Amen.
But I'm glad He didn't throw the clay away.
Amen.
I'm glad He picked up the pieces. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And put it back together again and made a vessel that He wanted to make Himself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God was making me how God wanted me to be, not how I, not what I wanted to be, what God wanted me to be for Him. And every failure that I had was just another stepping stone on the way to the throne. Never think failure has finished. The old worldly saying's true. At first you don't succeed, try again. It's true. It's true. But you gotta try again.
Amen.
Brother Steve asked me yesterday, and I'm gonna tell on him. He come over here and help me with the interview with the congressman. He said, Brother Hall, what books do I need that I can start studying a little bit so I wouldn't have to go off to school or nothing if I want to study and learn on the Bible? He said, I need to know how to put an outline together. I went there and gave him a book on homiletics.
Amen.
Amen. And I opened the front page of it to the first chapter. And you ain't going to believe what I had written down over the heading of the first chapter. There must be an outline to every chapter in the book.
Amen.
I said, that ought to teach you the outline, son. I give him hermeneutics, principles of Bible interpretation. I give him elemental theology book.
Right.
Somebody said, why? Because I want these young men to learn.
Amen.
I want them to know how to rightly divide that book.
Amen.
Because I want you to hear what I'm saying. As you get older, I'm telling you, are you listening carefully to what an older preacher's telling you? As you get older, it's not as easy to dig out a message.
Amen.
You've preached over so many times, it takes a little more time, it takes a little more digging, it takes a little more study, and some men ain't got the guts for it.
Amen.
Some men don't have the desire for it.
Amen.
So they get up and ramble on, don't ever say nothing about the Word of God.
Amen.
Now you can't deny I'd give you what that Bible said today. Somebody said, well, I didn't like everything you said. You may not like it, but it's a book.
Amen.
You have to take it up with God when you get there, friend.
Yes,
now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. When you get in trouble, what the preacher said don't amount to a hair, don't amount to a flip of a used booger, friend. It's what God has said to you out of that book.
Amen.
Those promises in that book. Why do you think He wrote that Bible? Whoa, I could run my head through a wall, thank God. He told Israel, said, I will be with thee when you walk through the water. They'll not overflow thee. The fire will not burn thee. I will be with thee. They're mine. What a God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm done right here. Some men fear failing in their marriage. They really do. You've got to have a covenant relationship. There's got to be commitment.
Amen.
Christ has got to be the head.
Amen.
There's got to be some communication between a man and his wife.
Right.
And there's got to be some children somewhere along the line. They're like olive plants.
Right.
Round about your table is what the psalmist said in Psalm 128. They're like little olive plants. And then some folks... fear of failing their members, some preachers.
Amen.
And I think, are you listening to me now? Every preacher that's worth his salt fits into that category.
Amen.
You say, you mean everybody? Everybody.
Amen.
If you're a man of God and you're so full of pride, you never feel like you've ever failed your members. You got real problems, friend. I don't care who you are. I don't want to fail you, honestly.
Amen.
And I know sometimes I probably have. Now, I'm not going into details on where and what and how,
Amen.
But I'm sure there's been times that I have failed you as a church member. Maybe I didn't speak to you right, treat you right. Maybe I was short.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you something. I've got a real fear of failing you. When I pray, I always pray, Lord, make me what they need me to be for them. I mean that. Make me what I need to be for them. You're one church. You're not another church does not need Gary Hall. And I couldn't do for another church what I'm doing here. God ain't called me there. He's called me here. And I've got these members. And I do not want to fail you.
Amen.
Although I know there will be failures.
Right.
And I confess to you I have. And I'm sorry for it. I regret it greatly. But you also keep in mind that just because I'm standing up here and you're out there, I'm flesh just like you are, friend.
Amen.
I carry the same troubles and the same load that you carry.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, do you have any Bible for that? Oh, yeah. A high priest carried the 12 tribes of Israel, a stone for each tribe, on his heart, on a breastplate, on his heart. Now I'm telling you, I believe Jesus carried the 12 tribes of Israel on his heart. And I believe Jesus carries you and I in his heart. Now I'm going to tell you, a pastor ought to carry his people in his heart. If he doesn't have a heart for his people, he ought to get out and go where he can. Find a heart for somebody. I made up my mind a long time ago, preacher. Lord, if I ever get to the point where I don't have a heart for Island Ford Baptist Church, I will resign in a New York minute.
Amen.
But I'm telling you right now, I've got a heart for you. I love you.
Amen.
Some of you have been here and known me longer than others. And I'm telling you, some of you just like brothers and sisters to me. Some of you like children to me.
Amen.
I've known some of you when you were as young, just about as young as what your children are right now. That's right. And I can honestly say, I love you. I want to do right by you. I want God to help me that I can do right by you. Amen.
Amen.
Fear not.
Amen.
Wonderful words. Two little words with such great impact. Fear not. Why? For I am with thee.
Amen.
Let's stand together.